Welcome to Shrink Wrap, a podcast where Fran and Becky give proper respect to various mental health and wellness topics
while adding in a little bit of smart assery that they just can't seem to contain.
This podcast cannot and does not constitute therapy advice.
However, we do hope that you find the information we share with you helpful and entertaining.
Please be advised that this podcast discusses topics that can be sensitive to some listeners. Use appropriate discretion.
Welcome, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to recording day.
Good day.
It's a good day.
It is a good day.
It's a good day to have a good day. It's Friday Eve.
Oh, yeah.
I love Friday Eve.
Awesome.
AKA Thursday.
What are we talking about?
Apparently not as great as Wednesday in some people's houses.
Well, yeah. We had a...
Boom, chicka, wah, wah.
Yeah.
I mean, when the mood strikes, it's only the days that end in Y are the days that are eligible for sex. So, yeah.
Oh, so what are we talking about today, Fran?
We are talking about identifying and dealing with mental health stigma. Yeah. Not that there is any, but if there were.
I mean, there used to be, and then this podcast came out and destroyed all of it.
And done. So our job is done.
All right, we're the shrinks. We're out. Just kidding.
Yeah. Ready for a hard-hitting fact?
Always.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Frantastic Factoid.
Brody will love this fact. He loves these hard-hitting facts.
Is it as hard-hitting as depression is high among teens?
Yes. No, it's even harder-hitting than that. Mental health problems affect everyone.
Everyone.
Not only the people that have mental health issues, but also the people who live, love, and interact with them.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
I know.
I read a quote the other day that said, mental health is not the absence of mental illness, but it's also the presence of mental wellness.
I love that. Yeah.
Dum, dum, dum.
Yeah, that's great.
Because we all have fucking mental health people.
Yeah.
So in 2020, about 1 in 5 American adults experienced a mental health issue. That seems low to me. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Yeah. Suicide is a leading cause of death in the United States. It was the second leading cause of death for people ages 10 through 24.
That breaks my heart.
Yeah.
You literally have your whole life ahead of you.
Yeah.
Ugh. So what is a mental health stigma? Well, a stigma is when you or someone else views a person, even yourself, in a negative way just because they have a mental health condition. Stigma can feel like shame or judgment from someone else. Or internally. Have you ever known anybody that you would never guess would have a mental health stigma and then they do?
Towards themselves or toward others?
Either.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. It's just, I'm always like, whoa, I would have never guessed that about you.
Right.
And I don't know that they would have guessed it about them.
Yeah. I've had many clients over the years say, you know, I just got off work in the middle of the day and I told my boss, I'm going to see my doctor. But they won't. Not my mental health provider, my doctor.
Or you know what? Therapy is really good. Oh, would you go say, well, I don't need therapy, but I mean, it's really good for other people.
Yeah.
Well, I think everybody needs therapy. Well, I don't. Mm-hmm. But it's really good for other people.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's talk about some myths attached to mental health stigma. So here's one. People with mental health problems are violent and unpredictable, right?
AKA crazy.
Yes. The vast majority of people with mental health problems, the fact, are no more likely to be violent than anyone else. In fact, people with severe mental illnesses are over 10 times more likely to be the victims of a violent crime than the general population. Mm-hmm. So you think about mass shootings. Mm-hmm. How many times do we say, well, that person must have been mentally ill? But I'm going to beg to differ. I'm going to say, okay, was that person a domestic abuser?
There's a higher correlation for that.
Right? Was that person addicted to drugs or alcohol? Mm-hmm. Was that person growing up in a basement playing violent video games for decades? Mm-hmm. I want to see the research on that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's there.
Well, I mean, the research is there on the DV piece.
Right.
Definitely there, especially if there is a history of attempted strangulation of an intimate partner.
Mm-hmm. That they're more likely to.
Don't quote me on this, but I want to say, I was at a conference and I want to say the research at that time, and this was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, 75% of perpetrators of mass shootings have a history of domestic violence that includes strangulation. And that's why so many states are trying to get that as a specifier on a domestic violence charge.
What? That they
attempted strangulation.
Oh,
against their intimate partner, because that is such an indicator of more lethal violence to come.
And you would think there has to be research, because that's why a lot of states are considering, mm-hmm. if you have domestic violence on your record, mm-hmm. that they don't give you guns. They take your guns away. Yeah.
And, you know, that's always a tough one. And especially in a state like South Dakota, when we are so hunting forward, mm-hmm. and there's nothing wrong with hunting. It's a very good thing. But like, oh, don't take their guns away. No, they relinquish their rights to the guns mm-hmm. when they beat the shit out of whoever.
Right.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
What are your, this is a total caveat, but, or sidebar, but what are your thoughts on the parents of one of, you know, I can't remember where it was now, but the trial's going on currently as right. we're recording this in early March. They're charging the parents with involuntary manslaughter for getting the kid a gun. It was like 3 days before he went and shot up a school or something. Do you guys have thoughts one way or the other?
Give me more of the specifics. They bought him a gun not to hunt. Why did they buy him a gun?
I don't know exactly.
Just because it's your birthday? It's your birthday. It's your birthday.
So here's a firearm. It's your birthday. Oh my
God. I think it was a handgun, but regardless.
Why does a teenager need a handgun?
Right. No, I mean.
That would be my opinion. I'm not against guns. I'm actually rather for guns. However, I think we have to use our heads a little bit. So if I had a kid who was displaying some behaviors that were concerning to me, they're isolating, they don't have a lot of friends, maybe they don't shower on the regular, some things that would indicate that maybe they're not in a good space, mm-hmm. I don't think I'd buy them a gun or a machete or let them collect swords. Mm-hmm. We'd have to have a talk about that.
No swords.
Oh, and man. Yeah, and why would you ever get your kid a handgun?
I don't know.
You know, I can understand if your child has gone through hunter safety training and you're getting them, a hunting gun,
yeah.
But
there aren't many handguns that are hunty.
No.
I mean, unless you're carrying your side piece for when you miss the pig 20 times and then it's charging you.
Oh, my. Yeah, what?
But you know what? You should be a better hunter. That is what I'm going to say. I've never been a hunter, but I am going to shit on you.
Natural consequences, sweetheart. Yeah, if you got mauled, you should have killed that thing earlier.
You shouldn't have thought it was your best friend, actually. I don't know. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
I'd want to know more about the situation. I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, but I don't know the specifics.
Like, I remember reading that, but I can't remember, unfortunately, which shooting it was.
No, I put you on the spot.
Yeah, but I'd want to know more around that. Many people with mental health problems are highly active and productive members of our communities. They're working on managing their mental health, just like people manage their diabetes or their coronary disease.
Right. Another myth, people with mental health needs are poor employees. Fact. People with mental health problems are just as productive as other employees. When they receive effective treatment, it can result in lower medical costs, increased productivity, lower absenteeism, and decreased disability costs. And this is why mm-hmm. employee assistance programs are super important. Like, if you want to run a company that's successful, you should have an EAP if you can afford it in place mm-hmm. so your employee can go get 3 free sessions mm-hmm. and get back on track.
Absolutely. Everybody wins. Mm-hmm. Personality weakness causes mental health problems, which is another myth. So you're weak of character. They often think that people with mental health problems can just snap out of it if they work hard enough. That always breaks my heart.
Yeah.
The fact is, mental health problems have nothing to do with being lazy or weak. Many factors contribute to mental health problems, including biological factors such as genetics, physical illness, injury, or brain chemistry, life experiences such as trauma or a history of abuse, which is why we have the ACEs mm-hmm. Scale now, or there's a family history of mental health problems, and you can't choose that. You know, like our listeners have heard me say a million times, we've let our kids know that in our family, you can have math smarts from your dad and nice legs from both of us and a nice set of lips from my set and anxiety and depression. You're welcome.
Right.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
It just is what it is. Will they all have it? I don't know, mm-hmm. but it's just an increased likelihood.
Right. Another myth, there is no hope for people with mental health problems. Fact, studies show people with mental health problems get better and many can recover completely. I mean, nowadays there's so much more treatment, so mm-hmm. many more resources.
Yes.
So many more resources, services, community support, therapy, and it works.
It does. And it's ever changing. Mm-hmm. They're always coming out with new things that work even better. Another myth, therapy and self-help are pointless. It's stupid. Why bother when you can just take a pill? The fact is, treatment for mental health problem varies depending on the individual and their diagnosis. Treatment may include medication therapy or both. Many treatment modalities demonstrate proven effectiveness. And this was something I heard a long time ago where for major depressive disorder, you can take a medication and you'll experience, you know, X amount of relief. You can do just therapy and you're not going to experience as much relief. But when you did the two together, it was like 60 times the effectiveness.
Yeah. The combination of therapy and the appropriate medication.
Yep.
Okay. So another myth, I can't help a person with a mental health problem. Fact, friends and family can be significant influences to help someone get the treatment that they need. So it's important. Reach out. Let them know that you care. Let them know you're available to help. Help them access mental health services. Ask if their job has EAP, school counselors, support groups, crisis numbers. Help the individual realize how important it is to take care of them, their mental health, and let them know, you know, normalize it. Everybody has some kind of mental health issue at one point or another. Mm-hmm. You aren't alone. The thing that I would caution people about is like, some people want to help. You are not their therapist. Mm-mm. You know, you help, but you're not doing their counseling.
No.
So be very careful about that line. And what I hear from teenagers a lot is like they'll be helping their friend and their friend is like, if I tell you this, you can't tell anybody else. No. It doesn't work that way.
It does not.
You tell your friend, look, I want to be here, but if I feel like I can't handle it and like you need more help, I may have to reach out for help because I care about you that much.
Mm-hmm. And I hope they understand that.
Right.
I also hear too, like, well, do they really need to go to a therapist? Because I can listen.
Right.
I wish that's all we did.
Yeah.
It would be a lot easier.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of mental gymnastics that go into place because you're listening for specific things. And based upon what you're here, you're going to phrase your responses, your treatment modalities.
Right. You're assessing their level of functioning. It's a lot.
As a good listener, are you an incredibly important resource? Yes, you are. However, let the professionals do what they need to do. And just, again, like Fran said, normalize it.
Right.
Another myth, it's impossible to prevent mental illness. So again, thinking back to the ACEs, the Adverse Childhood Experience Scale. So there's nothing we can do. They have a high ACEs score. They're just SOL. But the fact is, prevention of mental, emotional, and behavioral disorders focuses on addressing known risk factors, such as exposure to trauma that can affect the chances that children, youth, and young adults will develop mental health and physical problems. Promoting the socio-emotional well-being of children and youth leads to higher productivity, better educational outcomes, and lower crime rates. And that is so important to remember. And so anytime I'm doing the ACEs scale with somebody and they come back with a pretty high score, and then they're like, oh my gosh, so I should just give up right now. And I'm like, absolutely not. The fact that you are here in my office right now is going to offset some of this that you've had to deal with in the past.
Right.
So it's very, very treatable and preventable.
So the ACEs predicts, or there's a high correlation between early trauma and more mental and physical illnesses. So it's like the sooner, like if we were giving kids ACEs, the ACEs survey in elementary school, imagine the level of prevention that could take place and wraparound services that could help these kids.
And what I've seen too often, I want to just throw this caveat out there, do the survey and the recommended follow-up.
Right.
You can't just do the survey. And I see a lot of places do that. And then the treatment or follow-up kind of just falls off the radar.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because you do the survey and know you're fucked up. And so what good is it following up?
Yeah. And you put it in an annual report. 75% of our children scored an 8 or higher on the ACEs.
Yeah. So what are you going to do about it? Do something.
I put it in my report.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What do you want me to do?
Well, you know, get them in to see a counselor in school, get them into a program, get them a mentor, get them a tutor, do something.
And again, shout out to our school counselors in our area and other areas. You guys are amazing.
Absolutely. Another interesting point about stigma that I thought we had to talk about is the media and mental health stigma. Because you think about all the shows we watch, and there's a lot of Sopranos, you go to your therapist. How are they portraying the providers? How are they portraying substance use disorders, which are often misconstrued and sensationalized? Whether you're watching the news or a movie scene, you know, a lot of that is just attention getting, and it's not accurate at all. Unfortunately, negative attention is perpetuating these terrible stereotypes, and it can negatively impact people's attitudes and behaviors towards someone with mental health issues. So think about, like, I'm thinking about the movie The Joker.
I didn't see that one.
Remember The Joker? You can't find a darker movie. And this is perpetuating the stereotype.
But it's very dark.
Yes, very, very dark. That portraying that someone who is mentally ill is violent. The movie Split.
I didn't see that one either.
I mean, that's a fantastical. I mean, he's got like 20 personalities. I hear you. Yes, absolutely. But that is a pretty... out there.
But just even that, exaggerating perhaps a mental illness. And I didn't think he had 29 personalities or whatever.
It's a whole bunch. But
It's a whole bunch. But it's often portrayed, it that really connection. Is.
And I think too, I don't know, when I just look at social media and our influencers and TikTok, oh my gosh, this stuff just drives me crazy. If you're on TikTok and you're not just watching, in my opinion, like funny dog videos, or I don't know, oh, I always like the oldest, middle, youngest child videos from the guy in Minnesota. He's hilarious. But if you're getting, like, if you're trying to get the bulk of serious mental health advice off of a social media platform, that's probably not the best way to do it. You can supplement.
Right.
Check your resources. But a lot of times they're perpetuating stuff too. I remember when I first got my degree, people were like, is it like Dr. Phil? And I'm like, no, regular therapy is boring. It's not. I'm not yelling at anybody.
Yeah.
We're not like, oh, I have the results right here. That just doesn't happen. And so really, I mean, think about just run-of-the-mill bipolar disorder. That is not going to make a good movie ever. But if we can sensationalize it and make it with like these very exaggerated psychotic features,
right?
And then we can make that into a movie and people will watch it and think that that's what bipolar is.
So on the flip side of that, like I thought the show Shrinking made therapy look kind of fun. Like, do you think that there's, but yeah, I think once you get in the chair, you're like, oh, this is boring and hard. And Jason Segel's not here.
So, oh my God. Well, I would say
it's never boring. Therapy is never boring. But it's just not sensational.
Yeah.
No, and isn't. Shrinking is a terrible example.
There's like no boundaries therapy.
Anywhere. It is like, no boundaries and saying things that you would, you'd be reported to your ethics board. Yes, it's funny as hell. Don't get me wrong. I love that show. Yeah. But yeah, that again, that's a great example of like what doesn't happen in therapy. Hey, Becky, why is the Northern State University graduate program in counseling so awesome?
I could go on forever, but let's talk about the fact that you can get a clinical degree where you can work in private practice or an agency, or you can get a school counseling degree on the school track where you can work in a school as private school, parochial school, public school, any school you want to. And then my favorite.
What?
Forensic counseling.
Super cool. But is it KCREP approved?
It is KCREP approved. And you're like, what does that mean? You know what? It means that it has the gold standard of grad schools.
Super awesome. But can I afford it? Because I don't have a lot of money.
It's okay. If you go to northern.edu, you can apply for some scholarships. They have a couple of counseling specific scholarships in addition to some other really fantastic scholarships that a guidance counselor or a admissions counselor can help you with.
Awesome. Be Northern, unleash your potential, baby.
Oh. So what are some of the effects that stigma perpetuates or whatever? I don't even know what I'm trying to say. Isolation, blame, and secrecy. Yeah, because if you think everybody's going to judge you, then why would you, or you're judging yourself.
Right.
Why would you want to come out with that?
Yeah.
Rejection, bullying, and discrimination. Stigma can lead people with mental illness to be discriminated against and miss out on work or housing, be excluded from social groups, or become victims of violence.
Yeah. And I just think that stigma prevents people from getting the help that they need. Mm-hmm. Only 16.5% of people with depression worldwide actually seek help. Mm-hmm. And stigma is one of the big reasons for that. So how are we going to fight stigma? What do? You need to educate mm-hmm. yourself and others about mental health issues and be willing to talk openly and share your knowledge. Like mm-hmm. one of the things I really loved in the last month is I have a young boy who I diagnosed with OCD mm-hmm. and we're educating him about it. And anyway, I said, you know, you went on this little trip and you had to take your medicine. How did you handle it? And he said, I just told them I have OCD and I take meds for it. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
You did what? I am so proud of you. I was like, that is incredible. So I love that.
And you think about the ripple effect of him doing that.
Yes.
And making it okay for everybody in his little circle.
Yeah.
To if they ever have to be on medication for something. I like to go through when I talk with somebody and it's evident that they probably should consider a medication consult with their provider. And they're like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to become dependent on one of those drugs. I'm not going to let it change me. Mm-hmm. And I do the little like neurotransmitter factory, neurotransmitter storage site and how this works. And in a brain with depression, the foreman isn't doing his job or whatever. And then they kind of look at me like, that was a great third grade. I'm like, okay, so now this is your axons. These are your dendrites. This is your synaptic app. And they're like, oh shit. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, this is a biological thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you wouldn't pray extra hard for your body to create the insulin it needs.
Right.
You would go ahead and get insulin replacement because that's what we do.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason with mental health, we don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Prioritize mental health again. Prioritize their needs on the same level as physical health needs. You guys, it's the same thing. It's your fucking brain. And what is your brain? An organ. It's part of your physical body.
Right.
Yeah. Ah!
Yeah. Reach out to others when you notice they're struggling. I mean, we are smart humans. Mm-hmm. We can see when someone's struggling. And it's like, if you saw someone wearing a cast to work one day, would you not be like, oh my God, what happened?
Yeah.
When you see someone with greasy hair and their armpits smell because they're not bathing, you can't be like, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? Like, mm-hmm. how are you? I'm just kind of concerned about you.
Yeah, you don't seem your usual self.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah.
See the individual and not the condition. Do not label them as their diagnosis. It took me a long time to be able to openly say I have major depressive disorder. Mm-hmm. Because there are people who are like, oh, are you okay? Yes, I'm fucking okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just also have this that I manage and life is good. But again, that's one of the things. And I'm not saying you have to do this. That is something I wanted to do
right. To
decrease stigma. It's not everybody's. You don't have to do that. But look at the person mm-hmm. and don't just see them for whatever OCD or ADHD or whatever it might be.
Old.
Well, that's not a mental health issue.
Well, it could be. Could be giving me one. Don't take stigma personally. Most mm-hmm. discrimination comes from people, Brody, who don't understand or have little or no experience of mental illness. Try to consider it their problem and not yours. So really, fundamentally, Brody is terrified of growing old and having his
is that what it is?
Beard turn gray.
Yes, yes.
I'm okay with the salt and pepper. I think it'll be fine. Yeah.
Well, especially on dudes.
Yeah.
They
can get away with everything.
Jim with his beard, which is very, very handsome, but it's very, very salty, if you will.
Yeah.
And it looks so handsome, but mm-hmm. I'm like, frick, if I tried to grow my hair out right now and quit coloring it, yeah.
Yeah,
it'd be like just, what would the world would but did you die like would the world end?
I don't think. Yeah, I know people out there that have. I work with my coworker Kelly has the most beautiful, beautiful salt and pepper hair. If I could get a written guarantee that's how my hair would look like that, I would start growing it out tomorrow.
Yeah,
my brother and I today were just talking about how one of our friends is balding and he's trying to figure out what to do with it. And mm-hmm. my best friend, he started shaving his head years ago, but he's got the beard.
Yeah.
So bald, the beard and bald, yes. That's a good, like you've leaned into it. It's a it's a good look. And we both just kind of went, glad we'll never have to deal with that.
Yeah.
Like, looking at our father, looking at both grandfathers. Nope, mm-hmm. we're good.
Yeah.
The gray will come, but at least I'll keep it all.
You'll keep your hair.
Oh, man. Speak up against negative stereotypes and misinformation. Be willing to verbalize that mental health issues are not the result of personal weakness.
Yeah.
So if you hear somebody saying stupid shit.
Yeah, calm on it.
Calmly, politely, and respectfully. Mm-hmm. inform them.
I think we could certainly get there as a society. You think about how prevalent the R word was even 20 years, 10, 20 years ago. And then I don't remember when it happened, but there was a certain point where they were just like, nope, we're not doing that anymore. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that is not an acceptable word.
Yeah. So it's, I
think we can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oops, that's not okay. Not mm-hmm. kind.
Oh, have you ever called somebody out in public for it?
Yeah.
I was in a work meeting once and there was like a community meeting or something. And somebody said that. And it was instantaneous. Mm-hmm. I don't know where it came from, but I was just like, oh, hang on.
Yeah.
We can't say that as a society. No, I wasn't calling him that. I was just saying he was acting that way. See, almost worse. You can't. Nope. I just want to call it out that's not cool.
Yeah.
And again, the people that I've heard do this, and they're few and far between, but are really good people that just don't recognize what something like that can do.
But when you are called on it, like Brody said, take responsibility. Yeah. Like, I know. I actually got called on it. Mm-hmm. I remember I can't remember where I was, but I said, oh, we got gypped or something like right?
Yeah, and that's a good one.
Gyp is a derogatory term toward people that are gypsies.
Yeah, the Romanian
and
culture.
And right away, the younger guy's like, oh, nope, we can't say that anymore. And I'm like, what? What does it mean? And then he explained it to me. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I never even thought mm-hmm. about that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, I appreciate it. I'm like, I don't want to be that person.
Mm-mm. And again, you're a good person. You would never intentionally try and hurt somebody.
No. Yeah. So like Becky said, if you choose to tell your story, that can definitely help with normalizing stigma and, not normalizing stigma, normalizing mental health issues.
I knew what you meant.
But you know what I mean.
Let's get comfortable with being discriminatory.
Yes, let's do it.
That's probably the easier way to do all this.
Right?
Yeah. The way that you're talking about is way too much work.
If
we could just settle into just holding on to your beliefs and biases, I think that'd be easier for everybody.
Right.
And then we just got to quit being snowflakes, I believe is the term they use.
No big deal.
I don't know who they are, but. Oh, did you say the whole thing?
Yeah, I did.
I went away to Becky Land. That's a beautiful trip. I'm back now.
Okay.
Join a support group such as NAMI, which is the National Alliance for Mental Illness, right?
Yeah.
As a parent, loved one, or as the one dealing with their mental health issue, it can be a useful way to meet others in the same situation. And support groups often have resources that may help educate family members and others about mental illness. I do say they'll watch out for any forums you join online. Mm-hmm. Some of them are amazing.
Yeah.
Some of them are terrible. And so you just want to be careful.
Right. Language matters, people. So mm-hmm. rather than saying they are a hoarder, they have hoarding disorder,
mm-hmm.
right? Just be kind about that and mindful.
Choose empowerment over shame. So a gal by the name of, or a guy by the name of Val Fletcher said, I fight stigma by choosing to live an empowered life. To me, that means owning my life and my story and refusing to allow others to dictate how I view myself or how I feel about myself. And I think that's very empowering.
Yeah. Here's another quote. This is from, I'm going to kill
it. Isabel Garcia.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you.
You couldn't say that.
Well, it's spelled Isabel with a Y. I don't know. Okay, quote, I fight stigma by saying, admitting, basically, I see a therapist and a psychiatrist, which mm-hmm. we talked about that earlier. So mm-hmm. that's awesome.
Well, I think this is a different, I think when we as professionals admit like it's a big dark secret,
right.
when we share that we also, and we above anybody, I think, should have a therapist. Mm-hmm. But when we say, oh yeah, I have a therapist, people are like, you have a therapist?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you knew me better, you would know that it's a very necessary thing.
Yeah.
Another thing, let the media know when they're being stigmatizing. So Kathy Smith says, if I watch a program on TV that has any negative comments, storylines, or characters with a mental illness, I write the broadcasting company and I let them and to the program itself. If Facebook has any stories where people make ignorant comments about mental health, then I write back and fill them in on my son's journey with schizoaffective disorder.
Never thought about doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Really, you know? Work on harboring self-stigma. Jamie Brown says, I fight stigma by not having stigma for myself. I don't hide from the world in shame. I am a productive member of society. So the resources for this podcast are
NAMI, mentalhealth.gov and Sane Australia, the sane guide to reducing stigma.
All right, Brody's going to hit us with an interesting question.
All right.
Question.
Moms, yeah. Here we go.
Uh-oh.
My partner and I are expecting our first baby any day now. Last night, she mentioned she would like to go out to a nice restaurant for a steak a couple weeks after the birth. I thought, Yeah, great deal. Your mother will be here to watch the baby while we go out. She wants to take the baby with us. I told her I didn't think it was exactly appropriate. This is a fine dining restaurant. You wear nice clothes. It's a quiet atmosphere. People are paying a lot of money to enjoy a relaxing evening there and eat quality food. Bringing a newborn baby with us that will undoubtedly end up crying loudly at some point and disturbing people trying to have a nice night out would be embarrassing for me. I know if I was at this place and all through my meal I heard a baby crying, it would kind of ruin the whole point of going to a place like this. She said if the baby started crying, she would just start breastfeeding him in the restaurant. I told her that the other diners, quote, probably don't want to watch you breastfeed while they're trying to eat. I understand she didn't want to be apart. She doesn't want to be apart from the baby for 1 second, but I also feel like taking a two-week-old to a fine dining restaurant is a pretty bad idea. Anyways, I told her if she wanted to go there with the baby and her mother, that's fine, but I wouldn't be joining them. She's barely said a word to me since.
He is the asshole. Because number one, we've all had a two-week-old. They really don't make that much noise. That is the easy window. All they basically do is sleep and eat at that point. No, I really do. They're not throwing tantrums. They're adjusting to the world. So I say go for it. That's just my opinion. And if you breastfeed, breastfeed. If somebody's uncomfortable with breastfeeding, then they need to get over themselves. And that's just my viewpoint on that.
Okay. So I disagree. And I think this is a really good opportunity for them to communicate about what is acceptable behavior, right? Like, are you comfortable with your wife breastfeeding in public in general, right? Mm-hmm. And is she comfortable with it? And being mindful of what can happen with other people, I, being OCD, would be more worried about taking my kid out in public 2 weeks later, germs, you know, like COVID. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I think like how he, again, it's how do you present the issue? How do you talk about the issue? Like, he could have said, okay, here's my worries about this. Could we compromise and go to a place where it's not as fancy, not as big of a deal, and bring the baby, you know, because I think it'd be rude or I'd be uncomfortable if the baby did start crying. Again, it's the approach, I think.
I agree.
Brody, what do you think? You're the dude.
You're the dad.
So I tend to agree with Fran, but I'm going from the standpoint of the thing that struck me was they haven't had the baby yet.
Right.
They don't know what they're in for.
You're not wanting to go out for steak in 2 weeks.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
But I do think the bigger issue for me is scheduling the date night out away from the baby.
Like, yeah, I agree with that.
I think that piece is really important. And I don't know how to, thankfully my wife was like, yep, let's find a sitter and go out. I don't know how to handle that, you know, the parents who don't want to leave their kid ever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand that.
Nope, I don't either.
I'm so glad they're in school so I don't have to see them for 8 hours a day.
Because then you appreciate them.
Yeah.
No, I think it's a balance. And you're absolutely right. Anybody that's had a child knows that you're not going to want to go to a restaurant at 2 weeks old. I mean, your vagina's still halfway hanging out. So,
for the visual.
You're welcome. Or your guts if you had a C-section. You're just not feeling it. But I think to have that talk, are we going to have date nights? Because I think it's important that we have date nights. I know our relationship's going to change, but I want to make sure that we continue to work on our relationship.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Like, that you need to have that conversation. Like, are we going to make our relationship the priority here?
Yeah.
You know, because you're right. Some people never want to leave their kids.
And you got to keep the thing alive. Like, I get it. But especially at 2 weeks, it's a bundle of nerves. And
grandma is going to love that time.
Absolutely, she will.
Right.
Yep.
And baby's going to love that time.
So I think there's something to be said for still having an adult experience.
Yes.
Rather than the kid doesn't have to come to everything. Mm-hmm. There are family things that you can go and do. But again, at 2 weeks old, this will mean nothing to them. And their relationship, I think, is the more important one to prioritize.
Yeah, I agree. I will say Grace was 2 weeks old when she went to her first NSU men's and women's basketball game.
And that's a totally fine place to bring it.
And when she got hungry, I went and found Jake, the custodian, and I said, hey, I got a hungry baby. Where can I? And he let me into a little office area. I mean, I wouldn't have hesitated to whip it out, but I also knew if there was a quiet place, it would be better for both of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I did whip it out at the Woodhouse in Bismarck. We were sitting in a back corner and she was hungry and I had a blanket, you know, because you can get all sorts of really cool right. nursing cover-ups.
Yep.
So I had the cover-up on and, oh,
yeah.
People didn't like it with their cheeseburger. I guess too bad, but
right.
there we were.
I think there's also something to be said for reading the room too.
Yes.
Like it's not a place for kids. Like do you see other kids there?
Right.
If you want a steak and you want to bring the 2-week old, go to the Outback.
Yeah.
Outback Steakhouse will take your money yeah. and your kid and right. still give you a steak and it'll be just fine. If you're wanting a fine dining, that is an experience for adults.
And now I'm over mm-hmm. here going down a huge rabbit hole of, well, then what do you wear to the fine dining? And has she thought about that? And can you access your nursing bra in this beautiful dress that you think you're going to fit into, but honey, you're not, okay? Because mm-hmm. your body does not bounce back after 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a whole bunch of reasons to go to Outback in this scenario.
This episode sponsored by Outback Steakhouse, where you can get the Bloomin' Onion.
Imagine if the guy would have said, honey, I love you and mm-hmm. I married you and it's really important that I take you out for a really special dinner and that it's just you and I. And mm-hmm. so when you're ready to do that without the infant, let's do it.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, again, it's all in how you present it.
Yeah.
You know, but to say, well, you and your mother can go and I'm just going to stay home. Yeah, that's not cool.
He's not helping himself there.
No. But again, I devil's advocate. We've all said things in that moment that didn't come out right.
I like, never oh, do. Shit. I never do. I really asked Mark. Call him up right now.
He would say, oh, are we talking about today or you want like long term?
Right. Oh, my God.
Oh, you guys, we are the shrinks.
And that's a wrap.